Good morning, everyone. Thank you so very much on this Thanksgiving weekend that we can be with you once again and that you'll study the scripture with me this morning. This is Robert Rawson. I'm with the Crockett Church of Christ, located 7 miles due west of Senatobia on Interstate 55. And 7 miles out to the left there will be the Crockett Church of Christ building on the left. And you'll be able to be with services with us, the Bible classes this morning at 9:30, 10:30 at preaching service, and 6 o'clock this evening, the preaching service. We invite you to come and be a part of this event with us. Bring your Bible with you and enjoy the study. Or if you do not, you will have a Bible in each one of the pews that you'll be able to use at that time for the biblical study on the underway in the preaching or in the study class situation. Today, since it's a Thanksgiving weekend time that we have, and we know we've already passed that particular day and event, but the Thanksgiving time should be a part of our lives from day to day. But there are some things about Thanksgiving that I'm afraid that some people do that they should not do. For example, in Jesus' words of Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 10, he said, "Two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself and God, 'I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I gave alms to all that I possess, and the publican standing afar off would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you," Jesus said, "this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Are we the kind of people that are so proud of what we have and what we possess and what we are from day to day that we pray thus as this Pharisee did on this occasion? "I thank thee, God, that I'm not as other people, other men. I'm so blessed and so aware of it, and I really have a need to be praised by you because, Lord, this has been a blessing in my daily walk of life." What about the publican? What about his way of life? He was a man who was darkly hated most of the time by the people. He was a man who found himself going to collect taxes and the like from his own countrymen, knowing their income levels and knowing what level of taxation that they were due to pay. He was despised greatly. This publican was a man who was not well appreciated from others. But neither did he stand exalting himself. He would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, Jesus said in Luke 18 at verse 13. But smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful unto me, a sinner." He realized that he missed the mark so many times before God. Don't we realize that that's the case with our lives? We miss the mark with God so many times. That's a sin. To miss the mark. To miss the mark of what God expects and what God wants to have done. In his word, he has told us how to live and how to behave. But if we do not behave that way, we miss the mark and we become sinners. And we need the mercy of God in our prayers and in our lives. It's a wonderful thing to have this blessing of God. It's a wonderful way to say thanks. But not giving thanks for the credits that we gain. Not giving thanks for the way that we want to have it recognized. To the contrary, we want to give thanks for the mercy of God that he has extended toward us. There are many places in the New Testament of the Bible in which that word thank and thankful occurs. We're told to be people who follow the way of the Lord. And in following the way of the Lord, Paul wrote to Timothy about that. And in reference to it, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the time has come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Then Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thou diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed from Thessalonica, Croesus to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me for the ministry. Was Paul getting himself into the role of that Pharisee back there in Luke chapter 18 when he said, verse 7 of 2 Timothy 4, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. He was telling the truth about himself and his way. And many times he was doubtful before God and thanked God for the mercy that he had extended toward him. This is the way that Paul's life was. And it's a way of life that he recognized at this point to the young Timothy. Not in prayer to God, but in hope that he would have a wonderful reward hereafter. In the writing of Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he talks to him in regard to the good doctrine that he already had attained. He says, the Spirit speaketh expressly. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning verse 1. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. There is to be a prayer of thanksgiving for us when we have a meal and we are so blessed. Forbidding to marry, they'll say. Commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. We are people who find ourselves in a way of thanksgiving for God for all the bounty that he has extended toward us. He says there in 1 Timothy 4, verse 4, for every creature of God is good, and nothing be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. When we pray in such a way for the food that we have and thankfulness of it, we do not pray in regard to the idea that we planted it, we harvested it, we cooked it, we provided it here on this table, but we thank thee anyway, as one did in the movies back many years ago. We thank God for the fact that he has so blessed it to strengthen our body, to be with us, to help us in our ways, and to do his will from day to day. Paul went on to say to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Paul wanted Timothy to be a person who was looking to God for the blessings of life as he lived from day to day to eat a meal. Provide a prayer of thanksgiving to God for for the fact that it is what it is, a strengthening agent for our bodies and for our lives. What a blessing we have when we can do that kind of praying before God. Jesus provides for us examples of giving thanks. In the book of Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse number 21, he said, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin, and woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which had been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum," he says in verse 23, Matthew 11, verse 23, "and thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which were done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." At that time Jesus answered and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it is seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus closes this chapter, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 30, by saying, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." He did not say that he did not have an expectation for people as he taught them God's will and God's way. But he did say that that was light. That yoke was light compared to the works of the world in which they lived, compared to the terrible times that were of Tyre and Sidon and of Sodom, in which they would have repented had Jesus been there to teach among them and work among them. He said this was the case, that they did not repent, but they would have repented. It shall be more tolerable in the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. You of Chorazin and Bethsaida, you had the Savior to live among you and to practice life among you, to do work among you, to be a person of truth and righteousness and goodness among you, to help those who were sick and those who were hungry and those who were distressed. And to you, Sodom, it'll be more tolerable in the day of judgment for you, because if he had been among you, if I had been among you, you would have repented long ago. But that's not the case. He says it'll be more tolerable in the day of Sodom because of that work than for thee, O Capernaum. Capernaum was exalted above the mountains and above the hills, a high plain, a high place. Jesus said, though you're very high, you'll be called down because you did not repent. You did not turn away from your error because of the teaching that I gave you. You lived continually in that way. And he thanked the Father that the Father was with him and had hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, that it may be revealed unto these who were babes in the faith. Revealed unto them that God's mercy was going to be extended to those who asked for his mercy rather than sought out their own exaltation. This is the way Jesus said that thanks ought to be given and a way of life ought to be done before God. Now going to John chapter 11, we have a sad scene going on where Martha and Mary are very, very disturbed. Their brother Lazarus has died. They thought that if Jesus had been there, he could have done something to keep him alive. They blamed Jesus for not being there when Lazarus was in great physical need. But Jesus said, "Where have you laid him?" John 11, verse 34. And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. John 11, 35. He said then to the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." The Jews said, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind and caused even them to see, have been with this man, and he would not have died?" Jesus answered again, groaning in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone laid upon it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." But Martha, the sister of Lazarus, that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days, been buried away here." Jesus said unto her, "If thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God." Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stood by, I said it, that they might believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus said, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his feet were bound about him with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. And then gathered the chief priests and Pharisees a council, saying, "What do we do? For this man doeth many miracles. And if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation." And one of them named Caiaphas, being of the high priest of that year, said to them, "Ye know nothing at all, for consider it as expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not." When he said these particular words, he reasoned that it was better for Jesus to die, and the people believed it hook, line, and sinker. They believed that this was the way to go. And it is said regarding them that they were a part of that whole plan, that Jesus should die for that nation. He died for all people. He died for all sinful mankind. He died for that we might live. And the hope that you and I have in him, we're thankful to the Heavenly Father for that. Are we not? Would we pray in such a way as to thank God that we are so blessed and so righteous in our ways, that we merit his favor, we merit his glory? Or would we pray to God that we do not merit anything, that we are so lowly because of our sins and missing the mark of God's will, that we have our ways in life in which we can be thankful to God for his mercy and only his mercy toward us. His favor toward us is a worthwhile and wonderful thing for us. How grateful we are for that. How much we thank God. And how much Jesus on this occasion thanked the Father that he heard him, knowing that he waited to get there, that he might say these words to them, that they might believe that the Father had sent him. John 11 and verse 42. When he said, Lazarus, come forth, he used a personal name. The old gospel preacher, Brother Marshall Keeble, said that if Jesus had not used that name, signifying Lazarus come forth, all the dead in the graves would have come forth. And one day, they will. They will come forth. And the idea of saying Lazarus come forth was specific to that occasion and that day. He wasn't, as Martha said, so decayed that he was stinking at all. The full 4 days had gone by, but he was a man whom Jesus had healed, that he could do the miracle and bring him back to life. And that's what he did. Later on, we'll find Jesus sitting at a table, eating with the disciples and being there with them. And who is sitting at the table with them? Lazarus is sitting at the table with them. Lazarus loved him and cared about him. And Lazarus was a part of that way of life that was God's way of life. When Jesus noted, Father, in John 17 at 24, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, which thou lovest me, believe the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world. A righteous Father, the world doth not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it. Thus the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus loved us. He loved those disciples. He told them about the role of the Heavenly Father and how he was sent. In Matthew chapter 16, he told them about how I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But Jesus went on to say some things in regard to his future. The disciples understood a little bit of that, but they would understand a lot more as they would see the event take place. There in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus told his disciples, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. He was the Savior, the Anointed One. For at that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem. Matthew 16, verse 21. How that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. He raised and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be done unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those which be of men. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Indeed, Jesus loved them and cared about them, but he cared about them enough to say to Simon Peter, who rebuked him, "This will not happen to you. You will not be put to death by these men. You will not have this to be faced. Get thee behind me, Satan, because thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men." The Heavenly Father had so instructed Jesus and told Jesus that he would go to earth and he would be rejected ultimately. He would be put to death in that day and time of crucifixion. It would be a sad occasion. But in 3 days, he would rise from the dead. When Jesus told his disciples this in Matthew 16, Simon Peter was rebuking that idea, and he was rebuking the Heavenly Father. But Jesus stopped him. "Don't be like Satan. Don't be that way." And aren't we thankful that he realized what he had said and done? And on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Simon Peter proclaims the gospel message, telling the people who ask him, "What shall we do? Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." That's what they did. They were saved from their sins, and God added them to the church day by day, those that were being saved. Acts 2, verse 47. What a day to be thankful for the Savior who came and who carried out the Father's will. Thank you for your time this morning. This is Robert Rawson.